And we're standing here in front of a house that is being sold in my old neighborhood. I just got the little sheet from outside the front where it's advertised. And the sheet says that it's basically been reduced by $10,000. Also, the advertisement of the company that's advertising this house is some sort of online realty that I've never heard of. And I know these people because these used to be my neighbors. And as you can see, they have a really beautiful pool in their backyard. They put a lot of work into this house. But let me tell you the reasons why I wouldn't buy this house. It's an awesome price for this neighborhood. It's a very nice neighborhood. Loved living here. It's very quiet. But the thing is, this house is in the wrong school district. And so the people just packed up and left when their child was old enough to go to a middle school that the owners weren't comfortable with.
A study conducted by the Brooklyn Institution found that home values tend to be higher in areas where high-scoring students are located. So after they did their research, they found that, you know, 100 of the largest metro areas in the United States, the study came out with a finding that it will show you that they had a difference of $205,000 in home prices between houses in high-performing school districts and low-performing school districts.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. 205. Wow. So we're talking about houses that are in high performing. The students in this school are doing very well. Attract 205. I hope I'm reading correctly, because sometimes when I see things like this, I'm like, oh. Anyways. Welcome everybody, and thanks for checking in again. My name is MC Edem.
I'm Onyeka Onyekbe.
Yes, and we are back again with Real Talk Extra. And in today's show, we actually just started with school districts in especially in America to start with. I know it's popular in America, maybe places like Canada, you may have the same thing, but sometimes when I bump into figures like $205,000 difference in housing, because I know that there are houses, very comfortable houses, that I know the housing market is bad right now, but you could have gotten it for about $200,000, $250,000, $300,000. But we're talking about a difference, if this is what
that's,
you didn't correct.
That's a lot of money. I mean, that's like the difference between waiting tables in New York and being a neurosurgeon in John Hopkins. That's, if I convert it to Naira, that's like 90 million Naira.
You'll be angry.
That's 90 million Naira.
Yes. And that's the difference. So,
wow.
The thing is, today's movie, basically, that we actually want to talk about, the name of this movie is called Bad Education. And the reason we started with the major statistic, as we have the discussion, I guess we will understand better. But first of all, the general consensus here is that if the students of a particular school are doing very well, which is actually measured in how many students transition from high school to college, and the acceptance rate of colleges too, because I know that sometimes, you know, if more students are graduating with good grades from a particular college, at the same time, it also, you know, big schools can be attracted. They will know the school. That school becomes a brand.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads into this whole idea of, like, if you want to get state funding, you can propose projects, and then they know, okay, at least the total outcome of that school is they are graduating more students, so they actually do get these grants.
So it's like the Bible, where the servant that had 10 talents turned into 20, and, you know, he was given more. So the more you do, the more you get. To he that has, the more is added.
More is added. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because conversely, some people will feel that the school that isn't doing well should get more funding. But it seems in the American school system, the better you do, the more access you have.
Because to get state funding for certain projects, they are looking at they are looking at certain things with regards to why do we have to give you this money? But if you are graduating more students, at the end of the day, what we will observe is that you can ask whatsoever you will and it will be granted unto you because they believe, because the funds are actually there. The funds are actually there. There's budget, but you know, they have the state board who tries to examine all these numbers and they examine these numbers and they're trying to make sure that everything is working the way it's supposed to be working. So this movie basically talks about a particular school, Rosalind High. And high school for most people is the experience where you either know whether you're going to be a nerd or you are just going to be some kind of some kind of you know, guy who just wants to have fun or be serious. And this particular movie takes you into some basic aspects of school administration. In you know, at the end of the day, but administration is a bogus word, and it's a bogus word because you see, I used to have this person I knew a couple of years ago who taught me this, and he said that he comes from an old-fashioned world where if we all did what we were supposed to be doing, then we will not have any problem. So administration is like everybody has their own job.
So the thing, if we all did our jobs, ideally, you know, on paper, you know, those things sound very nice. If everybody did what they should do, the world would be okay. If we all showed a little love and, you know, we all sang Kumbaya in the morning and waved hands, everything would be fine and nobody do something. Oh, but there's always that one chap or one person somewhere who doesn't want to do their job, who just wants to be a lazy person, who just wants to wake up and say, I just don't feel like doing anything today. As Bruno Mars said. So, what happens? What happens in that case? Who now does the job of the person that doesn't want to do the job?
Yeah.
That's why we need administration.
The thing is here is this. Okay, administration, like, the movie will bring you into, and we have at least one of my favorite film actors, because sometimes I see certain film, like, you know me, and I'm MCU kind of guy. So, I mean, when I see somebody like the Wolverine, like Hugh Jackman, I'm saying, oh, look, I have to see what exactly
what's he's doing in the movie,
what exactly he's doing here and everything, and it turns out to be a true story and all that. So he is supposed to be, he plays the character of, the true life character of Frank Tasson, and he is supposed to be a school superintendent who is somebody who is supposed to be watching over a particular school district, which might include the you know, from the nursery all the way down to the high school. He's managing these aspects. And the movie introduces him to be some kind of hero who has brought this school from a very, you know, brought it up in the ranks, to say. And they are graduating more students. Colleges are taking taking more students from them, from Rosalind High, into their own school at the end of the day. And then as we go along, you know, he portrays himself in a particular light. And first of all, what you notice is that he is seen as a hero. But in all, it starts showing you his interaction with parents, his interaction with staff as the movie goes along. And you find out that there's this particular scene I want to first of all touch on. You know, the one where he had this, they had this little boy come with his mother. So, I mean, in that particular part, you know, first of all, what I got from that part, I don't know what you got. But what I am getting there is that, first of all, I want to say that it appears the system can be jigged. Let me just put it out there. The thing is, I think the little boy, what did you get? The little boy came in and he was like, he wrote an exam, he failed it. The mother brought him into Frank Tasson's office and wanted to talk to him directly. So what was that about?
Yeah, the little boy was having difficulty getting beyond a certain grade. I think he had speech impediments as well. And the mother was, you know, trying to make it look as if the boy had other issues that were stopping him from writing out the exams properly, because she kept saying that, you know, the teacher wasn't allowing him to get WhatsApp breaks and all those things. And so it affected his overall results because during examinations or tests, he always fell behind. So Francis Onye assured the lady that, you know, we'll handle it. I'll talk to the teacher. I'll make sure the teacher gives him ample time to take his test, you know, so that in the end he can get the results that maybe he deserves or the one he's qualified for. Now, the thing is, the whole point of tests and exams and why it is standardized is supposed to put people in a situation where they perform with other people. If for some reason the person can't meet up with what the test requires them to do, the person is not good enough. But it appeared that within his districts or within his school systems, if you talk to him, he was willing to go the extra mile to help people get to where they wanted to get to. And that is not necessarily the right thing to do, because the system says this is how tests are done and this is how results should be marked. But if you keep making exceptions for everybody, you're now rigging the system against others. You know, it's unfair. You're giving people an unfair advantage.
I think that if I had like maybe ample chances, like if I had like 4 or 5 times, you know, given 4 or 5 chances to take an exam or some of my exams when I was like, you know, maybe in the secondary
school, it would have been Einstein.
I would have been because what I remember is that you did have just that one chance to write an exam. And I mean, if it could be that my mother could just show up in the school and talk to my principal and say, ah, look, this is the issue. This is why he failed this exam. And then my principal said, oh, no problem. Just go back and take. You see, I'm saying this because, you see, most of the times, you know, most of the ways these movies are shot and they are, there are certain things that they put them in there for a reason. And that's the reason why I zoomed in on this scene, because it could have done okay without that scene and let the viewer have their own judgments at the end of the day. But they are showing this thing because we are thinking about, okay, this school is graduating a lot of people, but here we are having a child that is not doing so well and the mother can come to the office and talk about it. I don't know, like you said, it's wrong. I don't even want to judge it. I'm just saying, but look at it there. It's there. You're coming off a scene where they are saying, oh, he has graduated students and all that. The school is doing so well. But how the school is doing so well is what is being portrayed, because as far as I know, it does not have to be. It does not have to be there, as the case may be. Yeah. So I feel like, okay, the school is doing so well, as the case may be, and one of the things they want to do, like, you know, because the school is doing so well, I think what we observe is they have a project called the Skywalk Project. Like, you know, schools have projects that they do. And the Skywalk Project, I'm not really clear of how many millions of dollars it was supposed to take, but basically it was supposed to get money from the state board. So now when they want to get money from the state board, the state will give them this money because they are doing quite a fantastic job graduating the students. And that is basically one of the main things that we see. We did Coach Carter, and we see where there's this debate about basketball and academics and, you know, sports. There's nothing depicted about sports in this particular movie. But I am thinking that you have this whole money allocation should be given to schools as much as they want. But what exactly is your take with regards to, I mean, if they don't do well, they're not going to get the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was part of the reasons why, just as you mentioned, I'm glad you brought it up. In Coach Carter, when the principal was complaining that students aren't graduating or, you know, we're not doing well in our academics, I could tell that the reason why she was telling him that was because we're not doing well and all those things, we're not going to get the funding required to maybe handle certain things or be able to pay teachers to, you know, stay extra hours to give your students the grades that they require to get it. So why are you stressing them? You guys, you know, you're coaching the team and they're doing well. Focus on that. This extra stuff that you want me to do with teachers, making sure that they sit in front of the class and all those things, there's a financial implication to all this. And as you can tell, we're basically almost at the bottom of the ladder in this our area. So yeah. Now that you're telling me to do all these things, that means it's going to cost more money. I have to get more teachers in. I have to pay teachers like overtime. You know, all these things have a financial implication. And in almost all movies, there's that discussion of where's the money going to come from? And we can now tell, finally, we buy the education, we can tell that the money comes when the grades are good.
Yes.
Not before. The money doesn't come before the grades get good. The grades get good, then the money comes.
Yeah, basically, it just gleans into the earlier quote you gave that, I mean, the servant that produces more. You know, I at some point, I never really understood that because I'm feeling like, it's the one that does not have that. I should be
focusing on.
But you should focus on the one that doesn't have. You give the one that has. But now it's. I mean, it's actually.
It's almost like a business. It's like, I think America is. I understand when people say it's a capitalist nation because it's. Funds go to where there's high productivity. And it seems to have translated towards school, in sports, everything. Mm. I mean, if students or schools are being rewarded by the grades they get and the amount of students that go to college, it just shows that there's this culture of rewarding that which is supposedly on paper more productive.
Okay. When we come back, we actually are going to go into the main vein of this movie and we're going to talk basically about how we start seeing the importance of the district and how the school system tries to manage certain things that play out or gets uncovered within the school system. That will be when we come back.
Diana Escamilla has spent more than a decade successfully selling what's called the Best Southwest, suburban communities south of downtown Dallas.
Just listed a home, and within 48 hours, we had 8 offers.
In Cedar Hill.
Above asking price.
As a realtor, Escamilla gets to see firsthand where people are moving, why, and why not.
When you meet a potential client, someone looking to move into the area,
yes, sir.
How often do they ask you about the schools?
Well, I would say pretty much 80 to 85% of the time, especially when they have school-aged children.
So if we start thinking of schools like as, you know, more fund guzzling, or we try to fashion ourselves more in terms of getting funds from the states than actually educating the children, meaning that we are willing to just make sure our numbers look good,
mm-hmm.
than just getting funds. I know they all work hand in hand. Let's not get, because you see, you need money to educate children. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You need money to educate children. But you see, sometimes when it appears that it is just more about that, we just gave a reference to Coach Carter and how the thing played out. But now the movie now moves into where we start seeing more about a project called the Skywalk. A Skywalk basically is like a bridge that, you know, moves you from maybe one hostel. I've seen a lot of Skywalks, like, you know, where I go to work, there's a Skywalk from where you park into the building, which is a walk. And sometimes you have these little Skywalks could have a lane where you have these little motor vehicles that could transport people that don't want to walk long and all that. So it's a very expensive project that will require money. And basically, based on the way the school was going, you are able to acquire those funds from the states because they will say, okay, it's something needed. You could bring your arguments and they give you the money. So now enter Rachel Bagava. First of all, I don't think, before we introduce Rachel Bagava, I think we have to introduce Pamela Gluckin.
Okay.
Because Pamela Gluckin was supposed to be working with, she was the assistant
superintendent of the district.
She was the assistant school superintendent. And you see, we have all these scenes we notice in between where she's trying to do the accountant's work. Overtime, she's staying late to adjust documentation at some point. And you know, sometimes it's like working on spreadsheets. What kind of extra work? You know, so and you know, like, you see, for me, you know, I always study when a film, when I sometimes I look at the ambience in a movie. Mm-hmm. I say, everywhere is dark. The whole room is dark. But meanwhile, the computer light is on. Everybody has gone home. Only you, you're sitting there and you're adjusting paperwork. Why do you have to do so? But the thing is that it unfolds as the case may be. And now enter Rachel Bhargava. Rachel Bhargava is supposed to be like a school journalist. You understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
She was part of the press club. She was a school journalist for the Rosalind Hill Beacon, as it was called, I think.
Right.
So she was
like a press club for a school. That's
it's like a mini, you know, media house within a school. You know, they talk about school events, you know, talk about prom, talk about homecoming, king, queen, and all those other things. You know, just general tidbits that should interest students and, you know, maybe things they can take home to their parents. But apparently she was trying to do an interview, and in trying to do an interview and get some information, she discovered some things didn't add up. Now, I will bring in that the girl's name, the movie Rachel Bhargava, is not the real person's name, because it's a true story we're talking about, and yeah, it's not the real person's name. It was removed for, you know, to hide the person's identity. So I won't mention it here.
I know.
I will mention it here. But in real life, what happened was that she attended the school board meeting, and certain things that were said didn't add up, and based on that, she decided to do an interview for the school, and that's when she discovered that there were so many inconsistencies. And that's what led to what happened in the movie, where, you know, she's asking questions and, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah, so she's actually, I think what happened is that she was supposed to do a report for her local newspaper. And one of the things she wanted to center on was the Skywalk Project.
Yes.
And you see, based on this other guy who is supposed to be her fellow student manager, maybe he's the president of the press club.
The president of the club.
Press club. Yeah. Because when I was in secondary school, we called it press club. You know, it was just the press club. And, we just talked about basic stuff, really. It wasn't really about much that you would say that. But now we are seeing a situation where she just wants to talk about the Skywalk. She goes to try to talk to Pamela Gluckin about it. And we see a scene where Pamela Gluckin is not in her office. So Frank Tassone invites her into his office. And we are seeing a situation, she just wants to talk about simple, you know, just wants to write about the Skywalk. And it is Frank Tassone that actually encourages her that, look, all this, don't think small. If you want to write a story, you know, I've forgotten the quote he used, but he said you should bring out.
Yeah, go big or go home.
Go big, go big. Just write a big story. And for some strange reason, we see a situation where it pretty much turns a private, basically a small researcher just to talk about a project, and turns a young student into a private investigator. As we see that it could not even be reversed. So as she begins to do some investigations, she begins to find out that certain things, there are certain anomalies.
Yeah.
In fact, let's just plain and simple. There was some fraud going on. That first of all, it appears that it showed Pamela Gluckin to be the first culprit, which then throws, and at least the whole school system, they have this debate. They have this debate where they find out there's an anomaly, first of all, that is being reported. Now, you want to tell me really about, first of all, what happened? Because it appears what I get is they want to do, like Pamela Gluckin wants to do some home renovation project and she gets her son involved. What really was the main thing that happened?
So according to the movie, as the movie depicted, Pamela Gluckin was living She was living very well. You know, she used to throw parties in her home with her husband, her second husband, you know, and they were living very well. Her son, who seemed to have issues in the past, was living there as well. And so she wants to do renovation, and she's asked about who can do the renovation, and she gives the job to her son. or something to handle, to be the contractor. And in when he was given the job, he ends up, you know, buying things he could bought from one, he could buy from one store. He ends up going to multiple shop outlets of the same hardware store, Ace. In the movie, it's Ace Hardware Store. And so, in doing so, a relative of one of the school board members, a relative of all the school board members ends up getting called that, hey, what's going on? That this lady is buying so many things from so many places. And just come and look at it. Come and check it out. And in doing so, the school board member finds out that his address is one of the addresses listed for some of the things that were bought. And he's wondering how this is possible because, I mean, he has never received any of these things. He's not involved in all these renovations. And the name at the end of it is, you know, Pamela Glocken's name. And so the school board now comes en masse to the school to talk to Frank to find out what's going on. And Frank, actually, from the way the movie showed it, he seems not so surprised, but, you know, he feigns surprise. And, you know, he gets all flustered and upset. And he's like, you know, this is something we must deal with. He now goes to talk to the school auditor. He asks the school auditor to give him the numbers of, you know, what's the damage? You know, just give me numbers that we can work with. And the school auditor is like, it's worse than what they think it is. They think it's like $30,000, but it's like almost $200 or something. And he's like, okay, that he'll handle it, He goes back to talk to the board. And in talking to them, he exposes that maybe Pam was spending money without, you know, oversight. As he exposes it to the school board, they get all upset and about to call the cops and everything. And that's when the true crux of the movie comes about. He stops them. And the reason why he stops them, it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the film. He stops them because he showed the link between having the school doing so well and property prices being high. And some of the school board members were into real estate and stuff. So he could directly tell them that, look, if we report this to the police and word gets out that there has been fraud going on in our school, when we go to the school board, to the general, you know, the people that give the funding.
The state board.
I said school board. When he goes to the state board for funding for the Skywalk, they might not get it approved. Because it will look like the money that they have been giving them has been previously being misused. So the money for the Skywalk won't come out and the Skywalk project will be dead in the water. So based on their pockets and own personal interests, they decided to deal with the matter internally, which is what raised flags when the girl, Rebecca, started her investigation.
But let us look at something before we go into Rachel, Rachel Bagava. I'm thinking first of all that, okay, the school board, they've uncovered fraud.
Yeah.
They want to call the state, just as you've actually narrated. I think anybody watching this film, maybe I can get down interpretations in terms of, okay, yeah, this is what is happening. I am thinking that, okay, but let's look at it like this. Can we argue against Frank Tassoun in all honesty? Because look, okay, this thing goes out. No, first of all, I'm not in support of any kind of fraud in any way. I am just saying that his argument here is he's thinking, I don't know, he tries to present it like he's thinking for the greater good of the students. Like, look, if we report this thing, you know, but it appears that when he's talking about the greater good of the students, what I observe is that those guys, they don't really care. It was when he mentioned the real estate, it appears this person is thinking about, the value of my house. And that is when they now think about it, I say, okay, how can we fix this? Because, but you see, on the school angle now, two wrongs don't make a right, of course. But you don't get this money at the end of the day. We don't get funding for the school. Teachers cannot get paid. We start having the Coach Carter Rosalie and Richmond High School kind of problem at the end of the day, and we are on the bottom of the line. Colleges will not take our students. Frank Tassoun presented a real problem that would be the outcome of this thing. And for me, one of my interests here is, Do you think that he was totally wrong?
Well, personally, I believe he was, because if the only way to get the funding you need from the school is by minimizing fraud or things that are illegal happening in a school, then it's just totally wrong. There's no justification.
I know it is wrong.
For
I know it is wrong. You're not getting what I'm asking. I know you. Listen, I am saying that students will not graduate. Let's forget about the price of housing, because these are some group of guys with money and their selfish interests and all that. Mm-hmm. Frank Tasson used two or three major arguments, two of which I remember. One, the housing of the real estate housing, and mm-hmm. the real estate of that vicinity. Number two, he used the children, because you know, when we want to say anything, I've seen this thing in a lot of conservative arguments most of the time. They say, remember the children, because now this thing we are doing now, okay, is there any other way we can solve this problem? Because if we just go and call in the cops and call in the mayor and call in everybody at the end of the day, we don't get money for this school. And if we don't get money for this school, understand the trigger and the chain reaction that will follow if we don't continue to get this money, because they're not going to give us money. So that is the reason I actually, I'm not saying he is wrong. I am saying that is he totally wrong?
Yes.
You just see things in black and white.
The truth is it's only when you see things in black and white that you can, you know, accommodate the gray. Yes, I understand the gray area of, you know, children get to the best education they can get so that they can go into the best colleges, so they can have a better chance of being productive and, you know, contributing their quota to the society. I get that. I understand the whole concept behind that. But in this situation, the money, the chief, you know, project that was going to get affected through all this was the skywalk. And at that moment, they were number four without the skywalk. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's because the skywalk was coming that they became number four. They were already number four. So how was money for the skywalk going to make them... Money for the skywalk supposedly supposed to project them to number one. That was the projection they had. If they completed the skywalk and everything fell into place, they'll get to number one. So based on that, let's not do anything to jeopardize our meeting before the state board. What he didn't do was say that, our students will become less attractive or anything. He just told them that if the skywalk doesn't happen, it will affect our chances to go to number one. And if it doesn't go happen, and now they now do an investigation and fraud is uncovered and is widespread, it will affect our chances of even getting the funding we're getting now, which will mean that we'll lose all our value and all that. But that didn't move the people. They still wanted to report the fraud, because in the end, they didn't care about the kids. What made them sit up was
the housing. Yeah, I know.
And he gave them the stats that we mentioned earlier, that $205,000 difference between high-performing schools and low-performing schools. $205,000.
Just one study. But you see, we just used that particular one in this movie. And as far as I'm concerned, he knew that, look, if I present this argument, it does not work. We present this argument. Okay.
Bottom line is
that to fix the problem, the issue is this. Because you see, it's not about telling people that the value of their houses will fall. It's about how do you want to fix it? Because it's not about the value of my house falling. Do I want to get into trouble? This is a fraud situation. It needs to be reported. Mm-hmm. How do we fix it? Now, this is where they start finding out how to, not they, but I think Frank Tasson himself literally throws Pam Glockin under the bus, like way under the bus. Like, because you see, she is also aware, like for anyone who has seen the movie, you will see certain scenes before that where she tries to give her I think was that her sister co-worker. I'm not sure.
And her niece.
Her niece, right? Who actually needed money to buy a PlayStation for her son, and she just said put it on the card. And these are some of the things that are depicted in the film where she seems to be adjusting the documentation to match a lot of things. Now, the issue is it blows, first of all, and points towards her, and Frank Tassone actually, you know, comes to fix this problem that seems to, okay, if we present Pamela Gluckin as a sacrificial lamb, possibly you still keep the value of your houses, and we still, I mean, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah.
You still keep the value of your houses. Our children get to go to the best colleges. Every year we ask for money, we get the same amount of money that we need. So everything's to be working out perfectly. And I mean, so she becomes a sacrificial lamb. And how that was pulled off in the movie for me was epic. I mean, Hugh Jackman, the eye movement, the eye contact, the collecting of the information was out of this world. I mean, and they now look at her like somebody that needs help for
medical help
for corruption. You need help to cure to cure your problems. This is how they try to fix this problem. And then maybe when we come back, we will just talk about the next chapter and some of the things that we see as it continues to unfold in the movie.
And the assistant superintendent for business changed. She had been there. And then I noticed that my checks weren't being cashed. And I said to her, why aren't my checks being cashed? Because I didn't have much on that credit card. And she said, because, you know, you work so hard, you give so much, you're here 12 to 14 hours a day. You know, you really deserve it. And what I should have said was, no, you know, this is not going to work. I'm going to have to go to the Board of Education if you do not change. But I did not do that. I made the wrong choice.
So that's how the embezzlement started, was the assistant superintendent?
Yes.
Essentially.
For business.
For business. And what was her name?
Pamela Gluckin.
We see a school that is depicted where the ceiling is actually leaking. And at the same time, they are talking of, you know, getting all these funds to build a skywalk. It kind of shows a kind of, you know, because I kind of take note of these little things when they are shown, because it's trying to tell you something. We see a scene where they are trying to make photocopies of documentations, and then we see the ceiling is shown that is leaking, and they are looking at it, and we know that, okay. These people, they're small. Things are not being maintained. Money is not being spent the way it is. But we see a fraud that is being uncovered. And then at the end of the day, we've talked about how Rachel Bagava is actually trying to do an investigation. But we are coming from a situation where we've been talking about, if we all did what we are supposed to be doing, if everybody, like, you know, did what they were supposed to be doing. We've talked about administration. Do you think that? Because, you see, it's not about everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing. We have to also not forget the honesty factor, because people may be doing what they're supposed to be doing, but they are doing it different. Because how could this have happened? Number one, we know, first of all, right now, that Pamela Gluckin was
cooking the books.
Was corrupt. To start
with.
So the issue is, she was cooking the books, basically moving money, and we see how it blew because her son did not have the wisdom not to put her house address instead of keeping it within the school vicinity, how they have been doing, you know? So it blows on her head, and she takes the first hit, and she's out. Now she's out, but Rachel Bagava is trying to write this article in the school, and she's having issues with you know, they have these debates with the people in charge. In fact, at first, when she presents her first writing, she presents something that is, she brings an article that starts with, I think the heading was, "Record setting Skywalk proves a costly undertaking." But after the discussion that she had with her boss, so to speak, in quotes, because it's still a school thing, he changed it to, "Students are excited for upcoming Skywalk." I'm like, okay. Because he's like, look, maybe you shouldn't be going where you want to go. You're not supposed to be going. But if everybody did what they were supposed to be doing, because we are seeing a situation where she's becoming a private investigator. So what basically do you think? Do you think she was doing other people's jobs?
Yeah, she was. She was, like we mentioned earlier, you know, when what happens when the person that's supposed to do a job doesn't do their job. I mean, the whole reason for this fraud was because the auditor in the school was not doing his own due diligence. When he was asked, when Frank Sassoni was presented with the $30,000 crime, which seemed, was a lot, but, you know, it seemed minuscule, and he went to the auditor. In like less than 30 minutes, the guy is visibly shaking and he's like, it's much worse than what those guys think it is. Then Frank asks for a number. He tells him that it's upwards of $200,000. And he's like, okay, let's go with $200,000. But it was like, how did he get to a point where someone could, you know, take $250,000 out of the school pocket and pay for things that were not necessary or needed by the school? And it was because he didn't do his job. And in a further scene in the movie, when he comes to meet Frank Sassoni to, you know, ask Frank Sassoni about an experience that Frank himself was linked to, Frank now lets him know that he didn't do his job. And because he didn't do his job, he will also be implicated in the problem. So he better find a way to make this all go away. Because if the state board, the state auditor comes to find out about the things going on, they wonder how he was working here for so long and all these things were happening while he was there. I mean, the auditor's job is every day you go over the books and make sure that everything tallies. Now, how is it possible that, you know, the assistant superintendent was getting away with all these things and nothing happened?
The thing is, the assistant superintendent, what I am thinking, because sometimes I get confused too, it appears he honestly seems to have been sidelined. Maybe he didn't. The way it's looking, because Frank Tasson is with him in a particular scene and he is acting like, how did I miss this? How did I, you know? And I'm thinking that maybe this dude actually did not know what was going on. And because we are seeing concurrently also Pamela Gluckin, you know, doctoring the books. So it could be that he was doing his job. I'm not really sure. But it appears to that there's a way
he wasn't doing his job.
You can look at it. You can also look at it as an interpretation that he didn't really know what was going on. But at the same time, too, you can say, this guy was, you know, working with Frank
Tasson. It is his job to know what's going on.
Absolutely.
You know, it happens. We've seen this in multiple situations. We saw it in the Madoff scandal, the Bernie Madoff scandal, where the people from the investigators from the SEC came to see him. And, you know, he gives them a number to call and they refuse to call.
They never
call. He does it to bravado and like, you know, just you can call this person and, you know, they'll give you access and they're like, okay, we're fine with it. You know, at every stage or in almost all situations, when people are confronted with the opportunity to get things done the proper way, a lot of times they balk at doing it, maybe because they don't want to do the extra work required, you know, as we call it, the due diligence.
Due diligence,
they don't want to do it.
Yeah,
they don't want to do it, and it ends up allowing so much gets
just checking,
so much
you know.
Happens. You know, just checking, and because they don't check, do that, it compounds into a situation that a lot of people will be affected if you now uncover it now at that time. When it's in the beginning, when somebody does something wrong, you can stop it at that point. But if you allow it grow and grow and grow and morph into something else, by the time you want to end it, it becomes a situation where so many people end up getting affected, innocent people too.
It appears to be like the devil made me do it kind of thing, because it is, I mean, I remember this scene where he talks about, first of all, I think he mistakenly spent $20 or so and nobody asked him anything, and nobody, then, you know, you try for more, you try again, and nobody is asking. I say, oh, nobody's knocking on my door. Nothing is happening. Okay. So I might as well go for the big box. But we see where this young girl who is supposed to be writing a simple article in her school newspaper goes, she is asking for the keys to the basement where they say the records are there because they believe nobody will check. But now it appears that she is the one doing the job that the so-called accountant is supposed to be doing. She's going to look at the invoices. She goes into the basement and she gets all these pieces of papers. That is where she makes the photocopies that are seen, where we see the leaking roof and everything. And she takes these photocopies and she goes to investigate it. So, but the film also shows her living with her father at home. What do you know about her father?
Her father was someone, you know, a financial person. You know, I'm not sure if it was a Wall Street, but, you know, someone that worked with numbers and figures. And he was accused of, the rumor at that time before, you know, before there was a scene where he explained what happened, was that he was involved in insider trading. Now, later on in the movie, there's a scene where she asks her dad if he did it. And he's like, no, he didn't do anything. But he was friends with people that were doing it. And he kept quiet because she, at that point in time, she had been confronted by Frank Tosoni, who was aware of the extent to which her paper was, you know, her article was going. And he told her that there'll be a ripple effect that affects so many things and so many people. And in the end, her exposing what she wanted to expose was just not worth it.
Yes.
And then she was conflicted. She couldn't concentrate to school and everything. So she had to ask her dad, because her dad had a similar cloud around his head. And her dad was like, you know what? I'm at home now. I don't have a job. You know, I'm a social pariah. Not because I did anything wrong, but because I was aware there was something wrong going on and I kept quiet.
But it appears that Rachel Bagava actually, Frank Tosoni knows at this point that Rachel Bagava has caught him with his hand in the cookie jar. And that is where, and if you notice that he is not selling real estate to Rachel Bagava, he can sell real estate to his fellow buddies and the fellow teachers at the houses, but he is selling the future of the students. And if you do this, this is the ripple effect that it will have and how it will affect lives. Think of the greater good. Why do you want to do this? There, you know, we are living in a world that there's no perfection anywhere.
It's Skywalk.
I mean, why do you want to go and do this? And like you just rightly mentioned, it was when her father told her that I kept quiet. Then she realizes that, look, this thing, you know, has to break. And
to borrow a Nigerian phrase, Sorosoki, which means speak out, speak up.
Yes. And she said, look, we are going live. And she publishes, and they publish. I think at the end of the day, it first of all sold. You know, the father also helped her examine these invoices. You know, sometimes when we think of, we say, when I look at some of these stories, and if you go online and you find out that this is just one of the many that has been happening in school, the reason this is a big deal is because it came to the tune of, like, by the whole fraud, I think eventually when it was all collated, it came to like $11 or $11.5 million.
Yeah, like $12 million, and it's affected
for the life of me. These guys were just in administration and eating this money, as far as I'm concerned. And it's been happening in schools here and there. I mean, if you go to your YouTube, it's all there. But this is...
There's a Nigerian version where... And true story. Yeah. To all those who are outside who might feel that this is pure fiction, I'm not making this up. There's a Nigerian situation where what to say the equivalent of the SATs in America is the JAMB in Nigeria, where a lady who is a sales clerk was in charge of a certain amount of funds. And apparently she said she took it home to her safe. And she was told when she couldn't find the money to produce the money, she said that, and I quote, not verbatim, but I quote, a snake swallowed money. And now, this snake swallowed 36 million naira.
Oh my God.
For anyone who's conversant with how Nigerian money is, the highest Nigerian notes available is the 1,000 naira notes.
Oh my
so,
God.
A snake swallowed 360,000 naira bundles.
I can't. In fact,
that is 100,000. As at that time, that was about $100,000.
Look,
the lady told us that a snake swallowed $100,000.
People are not going to believe
this is the story. So, I mean, this education scam thing is all over the world.
It's not new. Only
the Nigerian version is just more esoteric, you know, where snakes seem to be hungry for minted money, and they decide to go and eat it. And it was in a safe. They opened up a safe and swallowed the money. So, you know, whoever is watching this movie and heard about this story for the first time, go to YouTube, type 36 million naira woman jam, and you'll be amazed at what the woman is still alive.
The thing here is that what mommy I know is that, you see, I think what happens is that there is corruption is corruption. But I think there are people who think maybe we want to do our own intelligently. We try to explain our own. But when you cannot explain, then you say a snake came to eat the rocket.
To borrow from Napoleon in Animal Farm, we were told that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. All corruption is corruption, but some corruption, some corruption. I throw a salute.
Let's blame it on the snake.
It's a descendant of the snake that made Eve eat the apple. I'm just saying. There just seems to be some similarity with having things eaten that shouldn't be eaten. From the forbidden tree, you know, the forbidden apple to money meant for students. All swallowed and eaten. All by the snake. A lion has never eaten money. So, love lions, hate snakes.
Yeah. So, I mean, you see, at least in this particular case, we are not talking about, like, I don't know if to honestly say nobody is better. It's just a question of who knows how to present themselves better than the others. Because, I mean, this one is saying, okay, at least somebody tried to put some kind of intelligence into it, put it in the card, cook the books, do whatever it is until somebody actually makes an investigation to find out that, look, these people were awarding themselves contracts. Awarding of contract is not a new thing, even in the Nigerian system sometimes.
Procurement is the biggest opportunity for scam everywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, construction costs can always skyrocket, you know. There's never any. Yeah.
And that is basically how this particular thing was uncovered. So it's like Rachel actually did the job of the auditor and everything. And then when it goes public, it's kinds of sets of Pandora's box. When we come back, we see exactly how this moves to the finish line.
Yes, where is our 36 million? Where are you, chief?
It's a mystery.
Yeah. That 36 million got lost. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery.
I will say, taking it to the bank, I will not be able to account for what I got until my house help. Now, when we went to John's prayers, and then she fell, and then she started confessing, and she said a lot of things, that she is the one behind what is happening in my office, and there's a snake. And whenever I open the safe, it comes mysteriously.
And the snake takes the money.
Cash.
Takes the cash. Snake takes cash. Snake is taking cash.
Is it cash or cash?
No cash.
No, you heard that, right? That you heard us say that snake takes cash. I mean,
you can't make this up. You can't make this up. The issue here is that you can sometimes like
it stretches the
it stretches
some things in Nigeria stretches the mind more than a Avengers film. I mean,
You know, I've always been saying that I would rather just, you know, talk about how most of these movies relate to society, because I always say this, there are two things that we just is endless regurgitating of discussion, and that regurgitation is talking about Nigeria's problems, which is endless. You can talk 5-hour podcast on that, and then maybe talk about American politics too. It will just, it's endless. So sometimes when we look at these things, I just find them very hilarious. Anyways, the thing is, we see these stories, and sometimes why I actually got interested sometimes is, you see, these guys is bad. You are eating money, you are doing plastic surgery with money, trying to look like a fine boy, cutting your face every year with tons of money. Because I'm thinking $11 million, what in the world were you doing with that kind of money? And, you know, Pamela Gluckin is renovating houses and everything. The thing is that I cannot judge anybody. That is the reason why. But we can always call what is right and what is wrong. It is wrong to go and take money that is supposed to be used for one thing and do it for, use it for, you know, personal things. Because that money was supposed to be used for the students. But we are seeing leaking roofs. We are seeing money for Skywalk that is being used. We are giving $200,000, $800,000. I think there was a particular contract for $800,000 that was billed to Frank Tazone's boyfriend's house.
Partner's
house. Or so. So the thing here is that there's something wrong with that. It could be a systemic issue. We could blame it on the fact that somebody was not doing their job, or these loopholes were created. But at the end of the day, it does not solve the problem. But however, now that the thing, I mean, Pandora's box was let loose, it opened, the scam blew open, the media got a hold of it. Of course, what exactly do you think will be the resultant effect?
Well, the result of the fact is, well, people have to lose their jobs, obviously. The rating that they were holding on to for so long, the number 4 that they were trying to keep, is going to maybe turn to 40 or 400. Who knows? But, you know, it's just generally horrible, because, you know, it's hard for you to now assess whether Frank Tassoni was actually really good at his job. You know, people sometimes end up getting carried away with bad things.
It defines, you know, what do you mean by good at your job? Because you see, when you talk about job description, now we don't know what his JD was. We don't know what
that's the issue. That's what I said. It makes it hard to define it, because there's a quote. If anyone goes, you know, beyond the movie to do some research on Frank Tassoni, there's an interview where he says that he's happy with how Hugh Jackman played him, because Hugh Jackman actually said that, you know, when they told Hugh Jackman, was he a bad superintendent? He said no. Hugh Jackman said no. He was just a good superintendent that did something bad. Which meant that he did his job of getting people educated and getting them through the school system and, you know, making the school a better place, but he did something bad in the process. And so, but it's hard to define, because if doing something good means allowing kids do the extra mile that they shouldn't be allowed to pass the exams, that's subverting the process that has been set down. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? You know, it's a gray area.
Yeah, it is.
And we can't tell because everything is all mixed up into everything. You know, he was very nice. You know, he got along. He remembered people's names. There was a scene in the movie where they showed him and Pamela practicing before they meet other people, right? He was recalling people's names and their children and what school they went to and, you know, all those things. And, you know, those sort of things adhere with the local community. So he was a good people's person. But at the same time,
sociable guy.
Did he take it too far and overdo it and translate it to bending rules for students to get good grades and cutting corners and all those other things, you know, minus all the personal things that he did. You know, part of what caused controversy in the movie was that Francis Oni turned out to be a gay guy. And some people felt that they were attacking him because he was gay. And even when they interviewed him after the movie, you know, when they spoke to him, he himself said that he didn't like the way he was portrayed as someone that lied about his partner and all those things, that his partner was aware of everything that he was doing. You know, that he never lied about the fact that he was married, but the movie made it look like he lied about it and all those things. But that was quite irrelevant. What was relevant in that whole situation was that him being able to hide his identity showed that he was someone who could hide things, which is why he could hide all the criminal activities that were going on in the school.
Yeah.
Which was the relevance. That's why they brought out his personal life. You know, that whole being able to hide the fact that you are in an intimate relationship with another man for such a long time, well, also translates to being able to hide the fact that you were taking money that you shouldn't be taking.
Well, in all
not
honesty,
that being gay in this situation has anything to do with his character. But the fact that he was hiding that he was gay was the issue.
In all honesty, being gay, when was the timing of this fraud? Was it
2002 was when it was uncovered.
Because I know that there were times in society where, you know, what we term societal norms sometimes, like, you know, the normal societal norm is that you, a man and his wife, and, you know, so, like, it's easier to, like, in this world we live in today, we post pictures of, you can post a picture of yourself and your wife and feel, but maybe some gay people, maybe they don't know because some people still frown at it and all that stuff. But I didn't see it as anything relevant because it's a societal norm in America today. I mean, we have gay, lesbian, it's integrated in society here. It's not like something that there, but there are certain parts of the world that you could go to and they are not trying to.
It's illegal in
like
Nigeria.
That. Yeah. I told somebody that a couple of days ago, and the person does not believe it. I said, "Look, there are some countries that they don't even want to hear that. They don't even want to hear it. I mean, we're debating about it in America.
If you are in a gay relationship in Nigeria and you are found out, whatever that means, there's a law that says you can get up to 14 years in jail."
Well, I'm not about to debate that law. But the thing is, we are going to come.
I'm just putting it out there.
No, it's true. I mean, it's for anybody to go out there and do the research. But the thing is, I told somebody that one time, and the person was looking at me wide-eyed and looks like, hey, what?
It's quite a ridiculous law.
Maybe we'll catch up because as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm sure there are some people saying, yes, it should be there. We shouldn't. I mean, I don't know. Even Jesus himself came to fix people. He didn't come to. let me not even get into that. But the point in this movie is that Frank Tassone, basically, his being gay was not even the object. The issue is that he has still done the same thing. I believe his character, even if he was a straight guy. Being gay, there is no correlation between his sexual orientation and the fact that we've seen very, very, in fact, we've seen more corrupt straight people on the planet so far.
Oh, of course. Most definitely.
We've seen more corrupt straight people. So the thing here is that Pamela Gluckin argues when she loses her job that she did it because we have to live in this big old house. You did not want to go to public school. That's he tells her daughter. Then he looks at and she tries to pitch it out as if it's somebody else's fault. And the thing is, you see, this whole money-driven society, how much could she have eaten? And that whole idea of what makes people take more than they are supposed to take, people can tell me it's greed. I could say greed would be a good idea or a good argument. But when you're now trying to say, you made me do it because you didn't want to go to private and public school, or we had to live in this big old house or somewhere, and now that is why you had to use other people's money, I think I would settle for good old-fashioned greed than just to say
it's greed.
That just to start saying that it's somebody else's. You did this. We had to do this. We had to. I say you do not have to. But I mean, at the same time, maybe those are not the real reasons.
But I have no arguments. If it was the old days where, it was the wild, wild west, and, maybe you were looking for gold and, you saw a place when it was gold and you filled your pockets and there was still extra gold and you felt that, okay, I might not come back here again. So let me take more gold and, take more than you can carry. That I will understand. But you have a decent job. You're working in a place. And this is money that the state has managed to bring out for education for generally the well-being and welfare of children. For you to justify it by to yourself by saying that your daughter did not want to go to public school but decided to go to private school, is your daughter more important than the thousands of kids that are under your purview? How do you explain that? How do you explain using school funds meant for other children to buy a PlayStation for your niece's child?
And some extra stuff.
It's just greed. It's wickedness. It's greed and wickedness. Because what could that money have done for school? In case of all these situations right there, people are being shot up in school. Could they have gotten more security? Could they have gotten more fire alarms? Could they have taken students to more excursions? Who knows how much, as good as the school became, with all the money that was stolen from the school, what could that money have done? That's the most important question to me.
Yeah.
$11 million taken out of a school system, basically a collection of schools, nursery, middle school, high school, $11 million gone. What will $11 million have done if it has stayed, gone to the proper channels? That's the question that needs to be answered. That's why people like that, I find it hard to forgive. I don't forget, an adult doing something to another adult, there are laws that handle that. But when adults do things to kids, I find it unforgivable.
That is the reason why every time you want to see this argument, most of the times they will always say, when they feel they cannot appeal to your humanity, they will always tell you, for the children. Let's do it for the children. And then, if you do not have a heart for the children, what kind of person are you? And on that note, I think Bad Education is a good movie to watch, entertaining movie to watch. Yeah, pretty much you can watch it with anybody. There's not so much foul language in it. I think it's a general movie, basically, that it takes you into how the school system works sometimes. And there's a whole lot more with regards to how the school system works, but it's a movie that you might find entertaining and something you can actually watch maybe over the weekend when you have less to do. And on that note, until we see you again on another episode of Real Talk Extra,
we say bye-bye. And watch out for snakes. They swallow money. So if you see a snake, hold your money well.
Bye bye.
Hold out your credit cards.
Thank you for listening to Real Talk Extra. That's REEL Talk Extra. Do us a solid and follow us everywhere that you listen to your podcast. We love feedback, so you can send us an email at podcast@realtalkextra.com, or you can send us a WhatsApp message, and the number is +1 919 283 6448. That's WhatsApp only. Thanks once again for spending this time with us, and we will see you at the next reel.